Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Mike Braden. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters, and there he is, everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Shane. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, man, I can't tell you how happy I am, Shane. I know you are, too, but just you open a timeline, and what are you seeing? You're seeing, I mean, amazing passes, one-handed grabs, guys fighting in the trenches. Everybody's going on to hell, even the teams I'm down on, I think they might win the national championship. I almost tweeted this out today, but I held back, Shane. I said, I think maybe every transfer your school's gotten.
Yeah.
Could be the best damn transfer in the country. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel that about everybody.
You're not wrong, man, because I'll sit there. I'm just watching a Mississippi State highlight. I'm like, damn, maybe they do got some studs on that receiver room, you know? But not all of them were great, Mike. Some of us, I don't know if you saw it, the infamous blurred vision from University of Tennessee. I don't know if you're getting into that.
Yeah, we'll get into all that. But we got a couple things before off the top rope here, Shane.
Yeah.
And don't forget, as always, presented by MyBookie all football season long. So head on over to MyBookie.ag. That's the website. Put in that promo code SEC to get you 100% deposit match today over at MyBookie. And then, Shane,
yes.
Why don't you tell us about this beauty going on here?
That's right. We got an official whiskey. Tennessee Legend Distillery is now part of that SEC podcast, True Legends here. And I will tell you, if you're ever up in the Smoky Mountains and we've all been the moonshine sipping. Everybody's done it. Said, hey, we got to check this place. The one you got to stop at first is Tennessee Legends Distillery. You can't miss it. If you're coming up 66 right where the wilderness is, you could pull in there, have a couple sips. And if you mention the cousins, you're going to get some fun. I don't even want to tell you what it is, Mike, because you may just turn the show off and head up there right now. Ooh. They're going to give you discounts on top of the discounts that are already in place. Plus, they're going to give you a bonus gift. Just mention me or Cousin Mike, anything to do with that SEC podcast, and these guys are going to hook you up. So very excited about the bright future we have with Tennessee Legend Distillery.
Absolutely, Shane. And you know what else I'm excited about?
What's that?
Michael Dunlap gave us $5, buddy.
He says, come on, cuz.
Love the Nick Barrett interview. Anybody that missed it over the weekend. So we've updated all our player interviews from SEC Media Days, put up a bunch of shorts. So I'm trying to keep you could technically say we took the weekend off.
Uh-huh.
We didn't take a weekend off. You know what I mean? It's football time. We're giving you as much content as we possibly can. And I'm going to try to up the interviews this week. So, man. Football is right around the corner. We got to get into football shape. You know what?
Yes. Well, I don't know. I don't know about football shape. What is that? Is that just nice and cozy on the couch? You know, I'm moving furniture around. I'm making sure I've got my extra. I'm getting extra TVs this year, Mike. I'm going to do it right. I'm going to set this thing up so I don't miss anything, especially those first couple of games where you have to watch 16 separate, games. It's like you're going to need as much content as possible, but I'm pumped up. I am ready.
When I say football shape, Shane, I mean shape enough to where you can be locked in from about 10 a.m. to midnight watching a game. We're not playing the games. We're just watching it, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, lunges to the refrigerator. I'm working on that, you know, checking the chip dip. I'm getting all these accessories, you know, because I'm not going to have time to cook, man. We're going to have to crock pot this thing. We're going to have meals ready. We're going to have food delivered because we're not leaving. The first week, brother, we start on Thursday and it ends on Monday. I think we'll have college football every single day, so I am absolutely ready.
Yeah, and you know who else is ready, Shane?
Who's that, cuz?
Legend, Cousin JR has done it again.
JR, shout out JR. He just gifted Bob Bill a membership, Shane. Bob,
welcome to the family.
And not to be outdone, Shane.
The legend.
I mean, you got a special partnership. If old Legend Distillery's gifting membership, Shane, they just gifted five
hell
memberships.
Yes.
So we appreciate you, Tennessee Legend Distillery. He just gifted Jesse, cousin Jesse, who Jesse's been a member before. I think he gave up on us. Fish and Football, Jeffrey Gosnell, Joshua Thurman, and Jody.
Welcome to the family.
Courtesy
Tennessee Legend.
Some hillbilly. I don't even want to read that one. It's too early in the show for that. And then shout out Steven Up.
Steven Up. Showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven Up. Roll Tide.
Shout out Steven Up. He gifted Brandon Tully. Brandon,
welcome to the family.
Whew. I mean, we just got so much cousin activity, Shane.
Right? Absolutely.
I appreciate all of it. But we got to get this show on the road.
Yeah, we got to get going. We got content. I mean, forget the list and all that. We've got some stuff to get into, Mike.
Yeah, well, hold on. I got a list for you. I'm just kidding. Big news, though, Shane. Big news. And again, this all goes back to why everybody's excited, why everybody's fired up.
Yeah.
DJ Lagway, Shane. I don't know if you've seen the video going crazy around the world, but our buddy Zach Goodall, go check out his interview, SEC Media Days. He was kind of the one that shared this. DJ on the practice field, Shane, firing that pigskin. Threw a damn bomb to, I think it was Trey Wilson.
Yep.
Yeah, there was no defense. I don't care about the defense, Shane. What I care about is DJ Lagway looking like $1 million. Are the Gators back?
That wasn't a soft toss, Mike. That wasn't a soft toss. That was a touchdown. That's what I saw. And I don't know, brother. You know me. I'm always a little bit pessimistic when it comes to them Florida Gators, but these highlight reels make me when I see this, I see a healthy quarterback, you know, and I don't care if the kid was wearing a boot a couple days ago. This is a guy that I think will be ready for week one. And I don't know if I'm ready for that, Mike, because I've already fired Billy twice this season, you know, and now it looks like the quarterback's a go. Wilson's back. Trey, he's going to be out there looking like a damn monster out there in the receiver room. They got arguably one of the best running backs in the country, and they're deeper. They're older. Florida Gators may be back, Mike, and I wasn't ready for it.
All right. Now, I say all that to say this. It's not a trick question, Shane.
Yes.
Is anybody higher than me on Florida and DJ Lagway this year?
Not a single soul.
Okay, so I led with the good news, right?
Yes.
We're all enamored. DJ's fine. He's good. He's golden. I haven't even told you this, Shane, so I want to get your reaction here because this is what I was told.
Yeah.
We've all seen the viral video. The guy looks like $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then Florida had practice.
Yeah.
He wasn't allowed to participate. Does that change anything for you? That's
because he's too good?
No, because they don't want him, because he's injured, because they don't want him to get you know, whatever is ailing him, they don't want to. I can't speak for them, but I would assume they don't want it to linger, to get more injured, you know.
Yeah.
Clearly, no one's going to touch DJ in practice, but people, maybe he steps on someone's foot, maybe someone steps on his foot. I mean, who knows what could happen.
Yeah.
He did not participate. Does that change anything? Now that you know, does that change anything at all?
Well, a little bit. And not enough to move the needle. And the only reason I'm saying that, Mike, is because we all know that every single week it's been a new injury pop up with DJ Lagway. And now you're just hedging your bets. Do you want him out here, you know, running with the ones? Or would you prefer him to be getting game ready, you know, maybe not with the team, but, you know, when week one hits, I still think that DJ will know this playbook better than anybody. I still think he'll have the chemistry with these guys because he sure is throwing again. You know, we just got to see some videos today. But I do worry a little bit into the season. But, you know, week one against, what, San Jose Sharks or something? I mean, who cares?
Long Island.
Yeah, same thing.
I disagree with you. You can't just roll the ball out there. He didn't even do spring.
Yeah.
Now you're saying he's golden for August 30th?
Yeah.
Now he needs to be out there with a retooled receiving core. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, you can't just snap your fingers and it's going to be good.
Yeah.
I mean, this is concerning to me still.
No. I got back in it. I'm back in the camp, Mike, and now you're just like, no. You can't. Florida Gators are going to be back. No, I would disagree. If they were opening up with Miami, I'd be worried. But they're not. So I feel like No, if anybody needs experience, maybe it is too. Maybe it is Harrison out here throwing some damn football and getting ready because, you know, even Billy said it in the presser the other day that, what was it, 80% of the teams didn't make it with their starting quarter. I mean, he's basically telling you, I need to be prepared for the second guy to step up. So I think if DJ shows up, he's going to be better than Harrison if he practiced the entire time. So, yeah, I don't think there's a huge step back. And we're still early, man. We're still just got the boot off. We're 3-4 days into this thing. I'm holding off a little bit as far as being nervous.
Okay. Okay. I forgot.
Like more nervous. I mean, I already am nervous, but you know what I'm saying.
Now, all of a sudden, you're Mr. Sunshine from Florida. I don't know what's gotten into you. Well, I think I might know. Free Souche, South Carolina update. So now this is a little bit confusing, right?
Yep.
And Gamecock fans know all about this. Maybe, you know, casual SEC or other SEC fans don't know. They got this running back from Utah State, Rashul Faison, who is yet to be cleared by the NCAA to play in the games, even though he transferred in freaking January.
Yeah.
I mean, this is ridiculous, right? But the latest, he's cleared to practice. He's all in the practice field. But still, so he's taken a step closer to the field. But unless I have this wrong, unless things have changed, he's still not cleared to play.
Right.
But what's your thoughts now that he's at least cleared to practice?
I think that's a step in the right direction. I mean, he was going to practice anyway. But the fact that they're kind of coming out here and saying this makes me feel like a decision will come sooner than later. And it may not just be him. There may be a couple other players that they're working with right now to clear up. But I would imagine that's exactly what happens here. So the fact that they came out, gave him the green light, I think it's a matter of time before we see the official Free Soul, if you will.
Okay.
He's back. You know, he's back. And I'll tell you what, I'm glad he is. I said it on the SEC Hangover the other day. This is a kid that once I heard this story, it makes you appreciate where he's came from and what he's gone through to get to this point right here. And this feels like the final hurdle, and it clears up. I think it's good for him and his family. I definitely think it's great for South Carolina family. I want to see it. I don't want to see them handicapped coming into the season because, you know, I don't want to say free agent, but, you know, a transfer portal kid that they had high expectations didn't get to hit the football field.
All right, let me ask you about this. I know you've been dying to talk about this, Shane, that Tennessee Vols. Anybody that missed it, we got quite the Zapruder film going on with the Tennessee media and the actual videos that Tennessee's showing of fall camp. Anybody that missed it, there was a nice little interception by transfer Colton Hood, who projects potentially to be a starter for Tennessee. Yeah. With Gerard McCoy still kind of banged up or working his way back from his ACL injury. So Colton Hood, he made the interception, right? That's kind of the key to it. But people are not talking about that, Shane. What they're talking about is, well, who threw the ball? Which one of these quarterbacks in this heated competition threw the interception? Well, let's rewind the tape, shall we? And if you look closely, you know, there's a blob in the video. So shout out Tennessee the football media team, whoever it is. Shane, they blurred out, apparently. I mean, people are reading between the lines here. So,
yeah.
I saw Austin Price said, no, that's a tight end over here. So we can't even agree on who's getting blurred out, but someone's got blurred out, and most people think, you know, the media does not want it to be known. Which quarterback threw a pass that got intercepted? What's your read on all this?
Well, first reaction was obviously I thought it was a quarterback, but I'm kind of with you. Austin Price made some pretty good I don't know, you know, we're not court or anything, but without reasonable doubt, I can't sit here and say that was the quarterback that was blurred because the camera angles didn't match up, the distance didn't match up, and some of the players that he was talking about that was in the area of this blurred individual, which I'm surprised it's blurred anyway. I'm kind of, what are you hiding that's in that receiver room, you know, or tight end room? So I am just suspicious of all of it together, but it is not a good look for the Tennessee quarterback.
He's fired up, folks. You can see it. You can hear it in his voice there.
Oh, gosh. Can't believe I said titty on a Sunday.
Cousin Thomas says, was it Nico?
Oh, God. Now that blurred would make sense.
Any concern, Shane? Mike Matthews not practicing? You know, that was something that Austin Price hit us with at Media Days. Go check out that interview if you missed it. But he said, hell, they only got, what do you say, seven receivers on the team, seven scholarship guys. And one of them's out. They, you know, another media member, I'd give her credit. I apologize. I don't remember who. It's on my timeline. But she tweeted out, I think it was Joey Aguilar throwing these nice passes. And it was Mike Matthews, and I believe it was Braylon Staley just dropping them. Any concern that Tennessee doesn't have any receivers?
A lot. Absolutely, man. I think I saw let me give him a shout-out here. While you're doing that, I think they said something like there was only one receiver that has action and four that has none, and that's the wide receiver room. I mean, it was kind of bad. And one of the things that I'm worried about is not only are we deep into this quarterback competition, but it's eerily similar to what we saw with Oklahoma last year. You know what I'm saying? Yep. And that's my big concern because we saw exactly how that played out last season.
Yeah, shout out KYO. No receivers? Welcome to Oklahoma last year. just as you're saying that, Shade. So, oh, buddy, yeah, it didn't work out too well for the Sooners right now. I mean, no. It's early. But this is what we do. We overreact everything, right?
And it's Adam Sparks, and I want to give him a shout-out. Mike Matthews is at practice but not going through wide receiver drills. Brazel's still limited due to injury. You can literally count Tennessee's healthy scholarship wide receivers, five on one hand, and four of those five have never played a college snap. So, you know, it's tough to be optimistic when you're hearing shit like that online, you know? And the only highlight you see is an interception, you know? So.
But who threw it, you know? All right, so I only got one more thing, Shane, before we get into it. I haven't even hit you with this yet. We're going to play a little game here, right?
Yes.
All right, so every team this year, I'm going to ask you, And I have it all written down, so that, you know, you don't have to. There's no guesswork here.
Yep.
Better record, worse record, or the same record for each SEC team.
Okay.
That's what we're going to do. But before we do that, one thing, and I know people hate this guy. I'm not exactly a fan of him either. I do think he's a quality coach, but these cheating bastards. Ryan Day, Ohio State coach, he had a comment at one of his press conferences.
Yeah.
I think it very much applies to every SEC team, and I'll explain it on the other side. This is a shorter clip here.
One challenge for our team is to learn to practice without pads on. It's really important. You know, guys have to stay off the ground and take care of each other, but we also have to be competitive. And you know, I say to these guys all the time, you want to be in an NFL camp, then you need to learn to practice without pads on. If you're on the ground in an NFL camp, you're going to find yourself cut really fast because, you know, NFL organizations are investing a lot of money in these guys. Well, it's not much different anymore, you know, in college. So we've got to take care of each other, and that is a big deal. We have to learn to practice well and smart and efficient, and so that's a part of a young team.
So I really wanted to play that, Shane, because what have we been saying? Hell, we just played a clip last episode from Kirby, right? Mm-hmm. We have a young team. Tennessee, this is the youngest team Josh Heupel has. I mean, basically every damn team is the youngest team, so it applies as well. But what is your thoughts? And I have a lot of them, but I'm just kind of curious. What are your thoughts when you hear an Ohio State coach say something like that?
They're afraid to tackle, you know. They're afraid to make contact, and some of these teams that we see struggle like last year early in the season. That's one of the things the coaches talk about was lack of physical contact in practice. So the kids weren't ready.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was hoping you'd go a step further and call it, you know, soft football. And that wasn't when I played. We didn't go that way.
I was a kid.
But point being, Shane.
Yeah.
What, you know, everybody's chasing a championship, right?
Yes.
An SEC championship, a national championship. I firmly believe, Shane, there's two things you got to have. And if you don't have it, you don't have a prayer at either. And they're kind of obvious. It's talent and depth.
Yeah.
And the more you wear down your guys, like he's saying, now this is a different era. This is a different time. Players are getting paid, but also expanded playoff. Mm-hmm. How, again, this doesn't really apply necessarily, but how different is Georgia in last playoffs if they had Carson Beck?
Yeah.
Now, I realize he didn't get hurt in a practice or anything like that, but, you know, that's just one example. If you take away a key player from Alabama, from Texas, from Georgia 5 years ago, well, Texas was not very good 5 years ago, so that's a bad example. But Alabama, Georgia, LSU, yeah, what have you, you take away a key player, there's a drop-off. But in today's Georgia, Texas, Bama, there's potentially a huge drop-off.
Yeah.
So how you practice these guys, yes, I mean, physicality and defense probably suffers. But I think having the larger picture in mind, I think it makes all the sense in the world. And I think the coaches that adapt better to this are going to have more success. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's a slippery slope. Part of the reason is why I wasn't panicking on DJ is because I heard these comments earlier, you know, and I feel like there's a lot of coaches that are going this route, kind of mimicking the NFL, because you're right. It's like the NFL. You've got a franchise quarterback that gets banged up, or a defensive end because you were too physical in practice, then it hampers your season, you know? So I get where they're coming from, but I do think that it's a fine line, because those that don't makes me like, if Ohio State's playing this way, just let's call it like it is, just tag football, just run around here with their spacers on or whatever. And then you got Texas maybe, you know, in the fires, in the throes of things, playing physical football. It's like week one when those two teams meet, yeah, Ohio State may have healthier players, but who's ready to play damn football, you know? So I feel like there's going to be a give and take to this approach, but this is the approach we have. This is the approach that you see agents are going to get involved now, you know, allowing so many physical practices. And at least it isn't, you joked, but it's not like it was in the 90s and 80s. You know what I'm saying? We had 2 days and it didn't matter. Like, they would weigh you just to see how much weight you lost in water to replenish. That was the only thing that we tested back then, you know? But right now, it's a totally different world. So I get where Coach Day's coming from, but I do think it's a give-take relationship, because the more that you give to trying to stay safe, you know, I think it's going to hurt you in the season.
Mm, yeah, I know. So that's just something I think every team's got to debate, and every team's got to decide. But that's could decide who wins the SEC and national championship, I really do think.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Shane, so let's play this game here. We're going to hit on all the teams here. We love doing this, right?
I'd love to hear what Kirby would have said hearing that. Like, just this soft-ass team. You know?
Better record, worse record, or the same record.
Okay.
And I want to shout out cousin Michael Dunlap. He was the first one to give us money. I believe he's a Gamecock fan, because he's shouting out this Nick Barrett interview we did. Yeah, go Cox, he says. So let's do South Carolina. The over-under is 7.5. But remember, that's not what we're going off of here, Shane. So last year, remember, I got this all written down, so I'm not quizzing you or anything.
Thank God.
South Carolina went 9-4 overall, 5-3 in the SEC. So better, worse, or the same for the South Carolina Gamecocks, who went 9-4 last year?
9-4. Damn, that's good. I would say, oh man, I'm falling in love with South Carolina. Not going to lie, Mike. So I'm going to say same. I feel like same is where we're going to land.
And well, how about this? Should we count the bowl games? Because should we not? I mean, 9-3 regular season, you know?
Yeah, let's do regular season 9-3. I think that's where we land. I think 9-3 is a good spot for South Carolina. Again.
So you're saying the same record?
I'm saying the same. Yep.
Shane, you're putting me on the spot here. Okay.
I'm a Q pick.
Which is the toughest? I think of the toughest games, Bama at home.
Yeah.
Again, I'm very high on Alabama. I think A&M, at A&M, I think that's tough after you whoop their ass. I think they're going to be out for blood.
Mm-hmm.
Clemson, that's not a hard game. Come on. No. Come on, Clemson. Get the hell out of here, you chubs. Oklahoma, perhaps. At LSU, if you're right about them, not that difficult if I'm right about them. At Mizzou, apparently God's gift here. So, man. Yeah. I think I'm going to go same too. I'm going to go, I mean, I would say 9-3-2.
Yeah. I just, again, it's more for me, the defense, not dropping off. Lenore Sellers coming back completely healthy. Yeah.
How important is early in the season? Because again, Shane Beamer, fantastic coach. First coach that deserves an extension, according to Shane. Remember that. But one thing you could say about, and maybe this is just, you know, it's not like he's been the coach for 20 years or whatever, but his teams generally start slow.
Yes.
I don't know why. You know, they got to get that resolved. But this is, this sure as hell ain't the year to, you know, the first month is, they're all winnable. Virginia Tech and Atlanta, South Carolina State's a joke. Vanderbilt at home. Vanderbilt is significantly better than they've been, you know, at least last year. Than they have been, and at Missouri, which until last year, they own your ass. So if you start slow, I mean, worst case, you're probably going 2-2 that, you know, in a worst case situation. And then there, I don't think there's any way you're getting a 9.
That's a great point, Mike. I don't think this is a team that can afford to start slow. You know, Virginia Tech, Vanderbilt, Mizzou, these are very losable games. And if you do kind of, just landmines. And I think if you're asking any true South Carolina fan, they don't talk about any game prior to October 11th. I just, because again, we got a lot of cousins out there. And
even Mizzou? At Mizzou?
I don't know. No, South Carolina does not give a shit about Mizzou. They do not. They're thinking about LSU. They're thinking about Bama. That I've heard more conversations about Alabama than I have heard Mizzou. and that's what I'm worried about if we have a slow start, because you lose to a Virginia Tech, you lose to Mizzou, you lose to a Vanderbilt. That can happen. Then all of a sudden, there's no way in hell we're going to repeat. There's no way in hell we're talking about South Carolina as a potential playoff team late November. So you're right. I feel like the important thing for South Carolina is to hit the ground running, and I think they're capable of doing it.
Okay. Now, Michael Riley. I do not condone this language or this comment, Shane. He says, who does give a shit about he told us he works in an ambulance, so thank you for the work you do, Michael.
Thank you for your service.
Much more valuable than we are.
Yeah, so, if you see somebody like stroking out on here, like chime in. Give a donation. I'll pay you back if it saves my life.
All right, hey, for JR, let's do Georgia next, Shay. JR, the always reliable here. So what did Georgia do last year? 10-2. Again, we're just doing regular season.
Yeah,
I think that's a better way to do it. Better record, worse record, or the same record for them. Georgia Bulldogs, Shane, 10-2 last year. Where are you leaning with the Bulldogs? Better, worse, or the same?
I'm thinking better. And I know the schedule's daunting. I know it's not an easy road for them Georgia Bulldogs. And they, too, have question marks. But, Mike, I am in the Georgia Bulldog camp, and I feel like this is a team that everyone should have penciled as the best team in the conference. It doesn't mean they're going to end that way. I just feel like top to bottom, this roster is absolutely stacked and led by, I think, the best coach in the SEC right now. So, yeah, give me better.
Mm-hmm. I get it, and I'm right. I feel it too, Shane, because I think most likely Georgia will go 11-1.
Yeah.
But if you made me pick, Shane, 11-1 or 10-2, what's more likely? I'd probably go 10-2, which is, you're still in the playoff. I think Georgia's going to make the playoff, but I don't have Georgia in the SEC championship. I got Bama in Texas. So, just to be different than you, I'm going to say the same record.
Mm. Okay.
I'll be right on this one.
I'll drink to that, Tennessee legend. Look at that.
And shout out to Chance. He says, Gamecocks have always started slow, going back to the old ball coach.
The old ball coach, yeah. But if there's a team that shouldn't start slow, you would think it would be this one with some of the continuity that they have. Look, I just feel like Lenore Sellers, with the lack of returning quarterbacks that are in this conference right now, it's got to be South Carolina hitting the ground run. And it's Virginia Tech. quietly one of the, if there's a game that Shane Beamer wants, it's this one, you know?
Hey, shout out Michael Raleigh. Shady, give us $5. It'll be me stroking out when Billy plays it safe, has a 3-point lead in the fourth quarter against Long Island. All right, hey, let's do for Tennessee legend, Shane. Let's do Tennessee.
Yes.
Better, worse, or the same record as last year. Again, we're just doing regular season. I call it an audible here. So last year, of course, Tennessee was 10-2 in the regular season. What? Where are you leaning with the Vols right here?
Based off the hype reels that I've seen, I'm going to have to say worse, Mike. I don't want it to be. I want it to be the same. In fact, prior to camp really starting, I felt 10-2 was on the board. But I'm leaning, because of the wide receivers and some of the stuff that I'm hearing out of camp right now, I'm leaning a little toward 9-3, you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just we haven't even got to the first scrimmage. You're already out.
Yeah. Well, right now, I mean, hopefully we'll revisit this. I'm not saying that it's going to happen, and usually I'm wrong. So, but yeah, to go 10-2, that's tough. That's tough to do in the SEC, and when you don't have a quarterback lined up, you don't have any wide receivers right now that are healthy. Yeah, I'm a little worried.
Jeez Louise says, is undefeated an option?
Yes, absolutely. That's probably what will happen. Because,
well, let me ask you this then, Shane. If it's only taking you a week and it's just a couple drop passes and a quarterback maybe scrubbed out of a video, if that's all it took for you to sell all your stock in your volunteers, what, you must have been not that confident to begin with.
No. I'm never confident. That's battered ball syndrome, Mike. That's exactly what it means. It's like, we know we should have nice things. We know we should be good, but something probably going to happen along the way.
That's
where you at? You ain't crowning them.
We're August 3rd. Shane's already selling his team down the river. I just never thought we'd be here. You know what?
9-3 selling it down the river. I think there's a lot of Vol fans be excited for a 9-3 season.
All right. Shout out Steven Up. Shane, Big Baber.
Yeah.
So let's do Alabama. 9-3 last year. Better, worse, or the same record for the Crimson Tide? I think we'll agree on this one.
Maybe. I think, no. Yeah, I'd say better. I'd say better. I feel like, and not by much, obviously, but I was about to say 9-3 sounds realistic, but I think this is a Bama team that's back in the mix. And 10-2 is definitely on the board for these guys. I think if 9-3 happens, it would be a massive disappointment for Kalen DeBoer. And I know it sounds crazy, but that's just where the standards are in Tuscaloosa.
Right. And again, so we've kind of been on this train for months. So
yeah,
no need to rehash a lot of the same talking points. But let me flip it the other way. What has to happen for Bama to not have a better record? Like what happened if Bama's 9-3 again, or God forbid worse, 8-4 or something like that? What has happened, do you think?
Quarterback Ty wasn't the guy, and I'd like to say that's the easy answer, but I really do think this defense will be legit, and I think they'll keep them in every single football game. So it comes from the offensive side, and you know, it's not necessarily Kalen's guy, but it's the one we may be rolling with here. And if we have quarterback competition in the season, which could happen if Ty drops a couple games early. And I mean, look at your Florida State, Georgia, Vanderbilt. You lost to them last year. Mizzou, Tennessee. There are very losable games. And I feel like if we're in October and we've got a couple losses, we may have a quarterback competition.
I'm glad you said that, Shane, because I'm going to go completely different from you.
Please.
I think it's the defense.
Really?
Well, again, we both think the defense will be good, right? They're bringing back a ton. I believe it's fourth in the SEC in returning production.
Yeah.
They got a ton of talent on the defensive side, that's why we're optimistic. It's year two, right?
Yeah.
But last time, maybe not the very last time, but in the last month, Shane, I saw Oklahoma, who couldn't do anything offensively, go up and down the field on these guys. We saw Tennessee, which I know they made the playoff.
Yeah.
But Tennessee's offense was sputtering, if you remember. I mean, there was Tennessee probably should score 40-something points against Alabama. You know what I mean? It was just wide open or open touchdowns missed. Vanderbilt went up and down the field. They couldn't stop Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Which, again, I'm kind of playing devil's advocate here. But just because you're bringing all these guys back, they weren't that good last year. And they were all brought there for one thing, Shane. They were brought there to play for Nick Saban and his defense.
Yeah.
And then we bring in Cain Womack, who's got a good reputation, but he's asking them to do something completely different. Maybe these great players don't fit that scheme, and maybe they continue to struggle with it. If the defense is overrated, if the defense is not as good as we're making them out to be,
yeah,
that's how Alabama, I think, goes under. And again, we're not saying they will, but I think that's how it happens.
Well, that's your opinion, you know. So here, you're the decaying dynasty guy, you know, so maybe I should listen to you. Maybe I should listen to you. But I don't think it's the defense. Okay. Honestly, I think it's we've put so much stock and we put so much want in Kalen to be successful in this offense that ultimately I think that's going to be why we're disappointed if this doesn't work out. We went out and got an offensive guy, you know, and if we come back with a defensive crew, then no, we're not buying stock in that.
Okay. Well, I am buying stock, Shane, in Mizzou fan number 7. Hell, he became a member. Welcome
to the family.
Mizzou fan. So let's do Mizzou, Shane. Then Fighting Tigers here. Last season, Mizzou, 10-3.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, that's counting the bowl game here. So let's say 9-3, right?
Yep.
9-3 regular season. Better, worse, or the same for the Missouri Tigers? What do you say?
The same. I think 9-3 is the number. I am on the Mizzou wagon. Obviously, everybody knows that. But I think there's a lot of success. This is a wonderful, wonderful football team. I have nothing but nice things to say. I will say this. The one holdup is my quarterback. Now, Drink has came out here every single time that I've seen him at the podium and says, we still got quarterback competition, but this is the best quarterback room I've ever been a part of. So I do think that what's that say? The tide raises all ships. I feel like that's maybe what's happening here. But one of the things he talks about, and what I believe will ultimately be the heart and soul of this football team, is he's impressed by Hardy. And I feel like that gives me the warm and fuzzies that everything's going to be all right, because you pair it with this defense, Mizzou's going to be in every single football game. So 9-3, I think that's where we're at.
Oh, wow. So, I let you go on, let you say all those nice things, Shay. Love Drake. Mizzou's awesome. Worse. Come on, Shane. They're going worse this year. Give me 8-4 for Missouri. I think that's much more realistic. Now, we can sit here and say, this is, you know, the golden schedule, and it is. Hell, hey, I think every SEC program would trade their schedule for this one.
Yeah.
But you need more than a schedule to win some of these games, in particularly Alabama, A&M. And I think they catch two more losses somewhere else. So, unfortunately, I think they're going to be worse record-wise. Hell, they may be even better team, but they're going to have a worse record. How about that?
I like all the metaphors in the comment section. I never get them right, you know? I know exactly what it's going on in here, but it just never comes out right. And I just say titties, you know? I just went in doubt.
All right, so, hey, for a shout-out for Michael Riley, gave us a donation, big Florida fan. Let's do the Gators next. 7-5, really, is what they were last year, regular season. Better, worse, or the same record for them Florida Gators, Shane, now that DJ Lagway's 100%, you're all bought in, right? Are the Gators going to be better than 7-5?
Worse. worse. It's going to take more than a soft toss in a defenseless arena with DJ Lagway. No, I just feel like this is a very, very tough schedule. I can't say it enough. Everybody knows how I feel. I don't feel like what happened at the end of the last season. It's kind of funny that you were talking about Alabama and you're looking at kind of the negative that happened with that defense. I felt that with Florida. I just felt like they received maybe a little too much credit on the way out of that 24 season. And I believe there's going to be some very, very upset fans, especially come September 3rd. Don't be surprised if September 6th isn't a dogfight either. I'm saying it right now. This is a 6-6 ball club.
Okay, so opposite of Bama, what has to happen for you to be totally dead wrong about Florida?
DJ has to come out here and be a damn player. Not just, I feel like when I say player, I mean like not afraid of contact. This is a guy that I feel needs to be, for him to be successful down there, he needs to be a physical quarterback and not just a pocket passer. So for me, I've got to see a not timid, very efficient quarterback with DJ Lagway.
Buddy. Well, that was a lot of words, Shane.
Yeah, big words, too.
Say you're dead wrong, Shane. Come on. Florida's doing better than they were last year, and I think significantly better. I'm still bought in till we know DJ's out for an extended period. He's probably just Superman. Remember last year, Shane got hurt against Georgia.
Yeah.
I think it was a hamstring, and we said, by God, he's done for the year. He was back a week later, whooping Ole Miss ass, LSU ass, and Florida. Well, I don't think he played in Florida State, but again, he was back, baby. I think he'll be back.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, you know who is back, Shane?
Jacob. Welcome back.
Jacob Rudy, welcome
to the family.
Let us know who your team is, Jacob, so we could do them next. I think we're all out of donations here. So what do you want to do next, Shane? Better, worse, or the same record?
Let's do Auburn.
Auburn Tigers.
Ooh, Shane's buying in big time, Shane. So Auburn last year, let's see, 5-7. Yes. It's easy enough. No bowl game there. Better, same, or worse record for Auburn Tigers?
Better. A lot better. I tell you what, you talk about a highlight reel that looks good. Auburn has been putting them out. I feel like they got one of the best wide receiver rooms in the country. Hugh Freeze is saying the right things finally. And, I think this is the big step forward for Auburn Tigers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, when you set the bar so low. Yeah, of course. Of course. Better. 6-6, I think, is clearly in view here for the Auburn Tigers. How does that change at all, though, Shane, if they lose to Baylor?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So the season hinges on one damn game in your mind.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was on KREF last week, little name drop there, and I will tell you, I told them, they lose to Baylor, then I think you remove Oklahoma and A&M from a win. There may be a shot, brother, that the wheels completely fall off, and damn, Hugh Freeze is fired by the end of October. That could happen. And it starts with that first game. I know it sounds crazy, but they beat Baylor. I can say they beat Oklahoma. They could beat A&M. You know, probably not beat Georgia, but they could beat Mizzou. They could beat Arkansas. But if they lose that game, and then all of a sudden that negative momentum, and it's that, you know how it is? It's like cancer down there sometimes with Hugh Freeze at the mic. And then all of a sudden we lose to Oklahoma on the road, A&M on the road. 3 losses out of the first 6 games. Jeez, yeah, I feel like that game is the most important game in Hugh Freeze's career.
Wow. So let me ask you this, Shane. Natural follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
Nine times out of 10, does Auburn have the length and girth to beat Baylor?
Yes, they do. They are more lengthy and girthy there on the plains, and there's no reason that Baylor should win that football game.
Okay, hey, shout out Jacob. Shane, he is a A&M fan, so he became a member. Let's do them fighting Texas A&M Aggies over here, Shane. Last year, where were we at? 8-4.
Yep.
Again, just doing regular season. I didn't even have to look at one up. We know they went 8-4. Better, same, or worse record for Texas A&M this year?
Well, I think the safe bet is same, Mike. I know you're a little higher on them Aggies, but I've got to see it. I've just got to see it. And so I'm going to stick with 8-4 here. Just seems like the safe bet.
Oh, that it is, Shane. That is a safe call. But that is not the call I'm going with. Come on, Shane. A&M's going to the playoff. Thanks to Marcel Reed. They're my fourth team out of the SEC to make the college football playoff. And how about this take for you, Shane? I don't think this is too crazy. I think by the end of the season,
yeah,
I think this man right here is going to be viewed widely as a top five coach in this conference. Mike Elko. Again, I thought he was coach of the year entering November last year. Mm. Of course, I don't think he didn't win a meaningful game after that. But up to that point, Shane, he was on fire. If they could recapture that somehow, A&M's making the playoff better. I'm smashing the better on this one, Shane.
I too am viewed widely.
You're top one.
I still smoke his ass in a brisket eating contest. I'll tell you that right now.
Hey, shout out Todd Dykes. He just became a member.
Hell,
Shane.
Yeah, Todd.
Welcome to the family. Let us know, Todd, who your team is so we can hit on them next. I don't see him saying it in the comments. So who do you want to do next there, Shane?
Let's do Ole Miss Rebbies.
Okay, Ole Miss. So a little disappointing last year, Shane.
Yeah.
Of course, if you talk to an Ole Miss fan, they're over the moon with it somehow. 9-3 overall regular season last year for Ole Miss. So better, worse, or the same record for Ole Miss 9-3 last year.
Bringing it down, going lower. Absolutely. And I hate it. I hate it because they were back. You know what I'm saying? Ole Miss was, I don't even know if you're back. They just finally arrived, and Ole Miss will take a huge step back this year. I feel like.
Huge step.
Yeah, I feel like 7-5 is in their wheelhouse, Mike.
Well, that's not that huge. Two games.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you're talking, I mean, look, Kiffin's. He's been averaging 10 wins every single season last 4 years. So I think 7 would be a big step back. He hasn't done that since 2020, and that was COVID year. So I can't even count that one. So I would say, damn, I forgot how good he's been at Ole Miss. Maybe I'm an idiot.
Is he on the hot seat at 7-5?
Yeah, fire his ass. He gets 7, he's out of here.
All right, no, I think you nailed it. I don't know if you nailed it with 7-5, but I'll go 8-4. Mm-hmm. I think that's the most. But again, if you want to sit here and say Mizzou's got a light schedule, I don't think Ole Miss is as light because they got Georgia, had Georgia. They got LSU, which is tricky. Florida beat them last year. So there are some land. Oklahoma, I think, will be much improved. But South Carolina, too, is another potentially good game. But the path is there for Ole Miss to get to the playoff if they can just navigate, go 10-2, you're in the playoff.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's just that simple, right, Mike? Just
I thought it was that simple last year. Yeah, then Kentucky came to town. You know
absolutely,
what?
Absolutely. Just got to keep it going. I don't know. I may be wrong. I talked to, who was it? Peter Burns. Mm-hmm. He kind of got me convinced that this is maybe a quarterback I'm not giving enough respect for. And the longer we go, I know I probably should just look at the success that Lane Kiffin's had down there in Oxford. So 7-5, that was kind of dumb. I would say 8-4 is realistic. So that's kind of where I'm at. 8-4, 9-3, I think would be a successful season. I naturally think they take a step back this season.
Okay. Well, I don't see any other donations. So let's do LSU, Shane. Them LSU Tigers last year, they went 8-4.
Oh, yeah.
Which is incredible here in a regular season. But LSU, better, same, or worse record?
Better. Better, baby. Ooh. And they start out week one with a W. I think a big one. I think this is a game that we're up 30 points. No, I'm just kidding. Not that much.
But 30 points?
Nah, I'm getting a little carried away. I'm getting a little emotional because I hate Clemson. But I know.
How much of that Tennessee legend you've been sipping on?
Probably more than I should. But, I feel like LSU takes a massive step forward this season. This is a college football playoff team. And to do that, you're going to be closer to 10 than you are 8. So give me over.
Yeah. I don't agree at all. I don't know why I said yeah. Give me the same record, Shane. I think LSU disappoints. I wouldn't be surprised at all. People talk about tough schedules. I think this is one of the tough. I don't understand why it's not thrown in the same conversation with at Clemson, at Ole Miss, at Bama, Vanderbilt. Everybody but Shane recognizes what a Foundation Clark Lee has down there in Nashville at Oklahoma. All the road games are losable. I'm not sitting here saying you're going to lose them all. Surely you won't, but they're all losable. Mm-hmm. And that's before South Carolina, Florida, and A&M at home too. Those are losable home games. So
yeah,
I don't know. Buddy, buckle up because Brian Kelly's donating to the NL. He might have to keep doing it, brother, to keep his damn job. So I think LSU may be the biggest disappointment in the conference this year.
That's why we don't have any LSU donations. They're just saving up for their coach's buyout.
All right. How about, I'm surprised. Where are all our Sooners at here, Shane?
Awfully quiet.
Yes.
No hot videos out or anything today.
What's going on with that? So let's do Oklahoma next, Shane. Last year, 6-6. What a tough record here for the Oklahoma Sooners. But will it get better? Will it get worse? Will it be the same? What's your thoughts?
I think it's better. This is one of those programs I'm loving more and more every day. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you this is a college football playoff team because I don't think they are. But they are better than 6 wins, and mainly because of that guy right there. So give me higher than 6 wins.
Yeah, this is one of the hires that you're most confident in?
This is up there. Yeah, for sure. I would say this is probably, top 3 of the ones I think would be the highest.
Let me throw it to you this way. And again, this would be a big step up. So I'm not saying this is the way it is. But what if I could guarantee you one thing, Shane?
Yeah.
That Oklahoma has a top 5 offensive line. Do you think the Sooners can make the playoff if just given that information?
Yeah, I think that's my biggest question mark is right. The offensive line.
Well, I just took that off the table for you, buddy.
If you did that, then we're done. Yeah, start booking some hotels now, guys.
Yeah, I mean, everything that you hear about this defensive line is dynamic.
Yeah.
How they got players emerging in practice that apparently, Shane, you know, we have heard so much from particularly guys that we trust, like Cole Kublik.
Yeah.
Say, this is the best damn defensive line. It's not even close in the conference. That's how you get to the playoff.
Yeah.
That's how Tennessee got there. That's how Ole Miss should have got there. Of course, they shat the bed. But that's how you get there, Shane. That's how Georgia won back-to-back national championships. Texas, they're strong on the defensive line. That's what it takes. A&M last year, when they started hot, good on the defensive line. That's one of the key pieces to success in this conference. And Oklahoma's got it. So, yeah, I'm smashing that over, Shane. It was 6 last year, Shane. They may double it. They might get to 12 this year. And I'm talking regular season. So, this is the most confident over on the board.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a special year. Now, what happens if they lose September 6th? What do you do then?
Then I guess we're going 11-1. All right. How about speaking of 11-1, Shane? How about Texas? Mighty Texas here.
Ooh, buddy.
Went right. That was the record last year. 11-1. Regular. Again, we're just doing regular season here. Better, worse, or the same record for Texas and Arch Manning? He's already won the Heisman, I think, according to Steven Lassen. What do you think about for Texas?
I think we take a baby step back. Give me 10-2. I do think Texas is obviously in the mix. I do worry about the Ohio State game, especially if they're not practicing up there, you know. I mean,
Ohio State's going to be fresh.
They're going to be super fresh coming into that one. But obviously Georgia, and then you worry about the game. There's always that game that kind of sneaks up on you. I didn't really get to see it last year, but doesn't mean it doesn't exist on the schedule, breaking in so many new faces here. So I'm sitting 10-2, but still right in the mix, college football playoffs, SEC championship.
Why do you hate Texas? Come on, Shane. I'm going the same. I think that's the most likely for Texas. And you could be right.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be a little bit different, too, than you. But, yeah, at Ohio State, at Georgia, I think best case obviously best case is you win them both. But realistically, I think best case is you split those.
Yeah.
And if you split those, again, I'm not guaranteeing you win the others, but I think the only three you got to worry, Florida, Oklahoma, and A&M. Mm-hmm. Yeah, shit, I may be talking myself into the worst. But no, give me Texas. Give me the same. I think they're, again, I said enough bad things about them. I'm going to give them some nice things. They're going to beat the hell out of everybody except for one, and it'll probably be at Georgia. I'm not picking them to beat Georgia until they actually do it.
Yeah.
Even though I did it multiple times last year.
Take Ohio State and Georgia off the schedule. Which right. one, for us to be completely wrong here, which one are you most worried about with the remaining? I think Florida, Oklahoma, A&M is going to be your mix, but there may be another team I'm not mentioning here. Is there? Which one are you most worried about?
Probably Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
But if I know that DJ Lagway is 100%, then maybe at Florida. Because I've said it before, people think I'm crazy. I think the Swamp may be the toughest place to play in the conference. Mm. So that, you know, I'd give the edge there to the Gators with the home field, but Sooners the advantage overall team. I know that.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
Now, perfect. If they could play Oklahoma in a Swamp, no, I'm kidding. Hey, shut up. P5 Codry
hey,
here.
Thank you,
MIZ, we play our best when y'all sleep on us, so start sleeping on them, Shane. Come on.
All right. You're out. Sorry, guys. You know, Drake can't pick a quarterback because you don't have one. No, I'm just kidding.
So, speaking of sleeping, Shane, how about Arkansas? Let's not sleep on them hogs, Shane. 6-6 last year. Better, worse, or the same record for them? Arkansas Razorbacks.
What was it? What was their record again?
6-6.
Ugh.
Of course, they beat a top five Tennessee. Remember
that? I was there. Yeah. Same. Give me same. I mean, I'm really torn here. This one could. Yeah, I'll go same. What do you got? Give me something positive. Please say better. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
I haven't had enough King Snake here from Tennessee Legend Distillery.
Ooh, I hate to do it, Shane. I'm gonna go worse.
Mm.
I think 5-7.
Oh, you hate Sam Pittman. I knew it. Is it just him or all fat people?
I don't know. I'm just trying to be different. I think 6-6 is very realistic. You know, I think if you ask an Arkansas fan, though,
yeah,
like if you gave them truth serum, you said, would you rather go 6-6 or 5-7? They'd probably say 5-7. Get a new coach. I mean, I think that's where they're at.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Razorbacks. I were probably wrong.
Yeah.
Probably wrong.
You know, I know who you're wrong about, Shane. Vanderbilt, come on,
Shane.
6-6 last year. Commodores, better, worse, or same record?
Oh, less. Absolutely less.
Why do you hate Diego?
It's them short shorts he had on that bus. I never understood it, and I thought it was inappropriate. And so I said, you know what? I'm not rooting for this guy anymore. I do like the stadium. I got to see some videos. Looks pretty cool. I think there's a lot of great things that are happening behind the scenes, but this is not the Vanderbilt team that we should worry about. But I do think it's creating it right now. So, no, I don't hate Pavia. What Pavia is doing is he's bringing this program to relevance. So, but I do think that they take a kind of a step back. They'll be in just about every game this season just because of the style they play.
Right.
But I feel like they're going to be on the losing end more times than not.
You know what I think is one of the dumbest things that I've heard people, and they just all say the same damn thing. These people, you know who I'm talking about. When they say, and I'm looking at you, Shane.
Yeah.
When they say, well, Vanderbilt, they're just not going to be able to sneak up on people like they did last year.
Yeah.
Now, I'll give you Alabama. Alabama was number one in the country. Alabama had just whooped Georgia, you know, in that miraculous game. Paul Feinbaum went on, I think it was ESPN, and said, yeah, that may have been the best game ever played. Something crazy like that. So, yeah, Alabama got caught up in it. I get all that, and they got upset. You can't convince me. It makes no sense whatsoever. It's just, it's you know, having no frame of reference. Vanderbilt, all they did after beating Alabama, Shane.
Yeah.
They won at Kentucky, which I get it. Kentucky's not a great team. Hell, Ole Miss couldn't beat them. They lost to Texas by 3. You don't think Texas was taking Vanderbilt seriously after Vanderbilt beat Alabama? You bet your ass they were taking them seriously. They won at Auburn with this team that you're convinced got, it's the same damn roster they had last year, Shane, with the same coach. They whooped his ass by 10 points on the road. And then LSU, they gave them a tough fight. They beat Georgia Tech. So I don't understand where these people are coming from. We're like, well, Vanderbilt's not going to sneak up on anybody. That Alabama game was 5 weeks into the season. They just slept. You know, that was Vanderbilt was a well known quantity by that point. So I just don't buy that argument that they're not sneaking up on people this year.
I hope we're sneaking up the end of this segment.
I mean, does that make sense, though? I mean, you can't say they snuck up on everybody.
I don't think sneaking up's the right word. The style that they play, you don't watch it. Nobody watched Vanderbilt games unless you were playing Vanderbilt. And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, I could see why this is a problem. You know, I could see this defense getting off the field after 3 plays or the offense staying on it and just keeping the chains moving. It's a very slow, unorthodox offense that you just don't get to see on a regular basis. So I don't think sneak's the right word, but you didn't respect it until you got it, you know? And then when you got it, you're like, oh, shit, we're about to lose it. Because even as a Tennessee fan, we're down 3 scores. And I'm like, holy, I see what they're saying. Damn, Vanderbilt snuck up on us.
I think I finally figured it out, Shane. You are spoiled with this hypo offense going up and down the field. Then you see Vanderbilt, and you're like, get this shit off my team. It all makes sense. Okay, it makes sense. Speaking of not having much hope here, Shane, Kentucky, 4-8 last year. Better, worse, or the same? Where are you at?
Worse. Sorry.
Can't get much worse, man.
I'm going to be sending some of this Tennessee legend up there to them boys in blue because they're going to need it, son. I feel like, again, Mike, I hate it, but we're in a window in Kentucky. I don't know what we're doing with Coach Stoops. I don't know what we're doing with this program. It's just it's lost all character, you know, the big blue wall and what it was kind of building up. We lost it the last few seasons. So I feel like because of that, we'll get back to it, but it's got to get stripped all the way down. And unfortunately, 25 will be rock bottom for Kentucky.
All right. Well, here's where you're wrong, Shane. Same 4-8. I think we could prove the doubters wrong and still go under. So give me the same for Kentucky. How about State? Mississippi State, 2-10. Youch, last year. Better, worse, or the same record for Mississippi State?
I'm going to say better, but not much, man. Maybe one game.
Ooh, 3-9?
Yeah, I'm looking at... No, yes. Yeah,
at least give me 4-8 here.
Well, I don't see an SEC team they're going to beat. Maybe Arkansas, if it catch them.
Tennessee.
I mean, it's late in the year. Definitely not Tennessee. Ain't happening. Stop talking about it. So, yeah, okay. I'll give you one sneak up. So we'll say 3, not counting Arizona State, and 1 SEC. So give me 4
Texas.
And 8. Boy, wouldn't that be something?
All right. Hey, we hit on all 16 SEC teams. I'm sure everybody agrees. Anything else, buddy, before we hop off here?
You know what? It's awesome, man. This is, I love that we still have lists, but, this is where we're at, man. We have got college football at the end of this month. It is in the air. I'm seeing, this is what I hate, seeing players get banged up, getting injured, but that's camp, man. You know, we can't all be Buckeyes. We got to get out there and be physical, play some football in the Southeastern Conference. But I'm telling you, if any news or anything like that drops, you will find it right here. Mike has finished up, I believe, the all the videos from Media Day. So I appreciate all the time and effort you put into it. Don't forget tomorrow, SEC Hangover. I'll be there. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the coaches' dumb comments. And Mike, I'm going to power rank. You haven't seen this one in a while. 10 best items at Cracker Barrel. So be sure to be there because if I'm a good at anything, if I'm a professional at anything, it is the Cracker Barrel menu. So I look forward to seeing everybody 7:30 in the morning.
Hey, and I almost forgot, Shane, shout out Cousin JP for getting all this data
put legends together.
He's got the top 5 doters from the month of July, Shane. Cousin Rick led the way. Thank you so much, Cousin Rick. Too Slick, he's number two. JR, number three. Steven Up, number four. And Shoelace Sooner, number five.
Thank you, cousins.
We also had Johnny Utah with a bunch of donations, Mr. Sip, and Brian Jordan. And then just based on teams, Shane, I mean, JP's done all this work. Texas A&M was our most gift. I don't know. What is the term there? Most
giving
fan base. Thank you, Shane, for helping out. Texas A&M 1, Bama 2, Georgia 3, Mizzou 4, and Tennessee number 5. So we thank each and every one of you for all those donations. Really helps us out. Particularly during the slow times that we're out of now. You know what?
Absolutely. No, I appreciate all the cousins and JP himself putting all that together. True legends out there. Thank you for all the donations, and we look forward to an exciting week of college football action. Smart Guy will be here tomorrow. I'll be here in the morning, so I look forward to seeing all of you.
All right, so that's going to do it for this episode of the show. Don't forget to check out mybookie.ag. That's the website. Promo code SEC, Tennessee Legends Distillery. That's all we got on this episode. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go ball.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.